Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Amen. For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to Acts, the 12th chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 1. Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse number 1. Acts, the 12th chapter, verse number 1. These words are recorded. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Yeah, and the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he says unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Read for you hearing from Acts, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 12. May the Lord continue to be a blessing to us through his word.
Amen.
From these verses of scripture, allow me to share with you, using for a subject, it was night. It was night. It was night. Nothing else needs to be said. That short and simple phrase says it all. You see, it seems that it always is night when deadly things are done, when terrible things happen. Visits in the night are generally not good. Visits in the night suggest that the darkness is overwhelming us. Visits in the night tells us that the powers of death are huge. You see, it was night when traders from the coast slipped into sleeping villages and snatched men and women from their beds and visited them in the innocence of their rest to take them to be sold into slavery. It was night. It was perpetual night in the holds of the ships that made that middle passage where hundreds perished and thousands suffered on their way across an endless ocean to visit a far country where they worked endlessly. It was night. It was night when Massa came and took the men, night when the peddlers of flesh visited the cabin and took the young daughters. Weeping did endure those nights, but no one could tell them about joy coming in the morning. Morning just pointed up the emptiness of the bed. Night visitors, it was night. It was night when the hooded riders came on their horses with their crosses blazing with fire, with their cross-covered robes. Night when the Klan rode, and night when innocent men were lynched, strung up before their brothers so that everybody could see what becomes of those who aspire just to be somebody. It was night when politicians and even preachers would sleep in mansions built by the labor of people of color. And it was night at the Lorraine Hotel when shots rang out and visited Dr. Martin Luther King with their devastating message. It was night. And see, in our text, Peter, too, had been visited in the night, and it was not a courtesy call. Herod the king had decided that this Christian stuff had to be stopped. Herod started with one of their ringleaders. He got to James, one of the three closest to Jesus, and James was put to death. So Herod, boldened by picking off James, now moved against Peter and took him away at night, threw him into jail and held him there until the moment would come to parade him before the people and have him put to death also. Those who have power and who claim that God put them there, they know their power from themselves is shaky. Most are scared. They're frightened of little men with nothing but perceived strength on their side. So they visit and do their business at night. Allow me to remind you today that God also is a night visitor. God neither slumbers nor does he sleep. God also makes night visits. And when God comes in the darkness of the night, things tend to happen. For God does not forget his own. He does not forget the victims of injustice. God does not stand aside forever while his children are enslaved. He is a God of justice, and for every Herod who dares to fly in his face, there is a time of reckoning to come. You see, I can imagine how many nights Peter slept restlessly in that prison cell. I can't imagine how many filthy rats may have stopped by. How many roaches may have crawled across him. I wonder how many times he cried out silently. How long, oh Lord, how long? However long it was. It wasn't as long as Mandela's 28 years in a South African cell. However long Peter slept in that cell, it wasn't as long as it is for thousands of young black men and young black women today who feed the commercial system and make money for the purveyors of prisons. But still, our Bible tells us that God visits in the night. Our liberating God, when he comes in the night, he works the work of justice. God will visit prison cells in the night. He's not interested in keeping a man down forever. God wants to redeem. He wants to offer grace. He wants to set the captives free. When God liberates, God empowers. When the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. There may be people in this very room who've been brought out from all kinds of things and have been empowered. Some of us came out of poverty, and God empowered us to earn a reasonable living. Some of us came out of the long and tortured history of racism, and God empowered us to make our way, not only in the so-called black world, but also in the world that's not so black. We've been empowered. When God liberates, God also empowers. I tell you that people of God, if we're true to his agenda, we need to be empowering other people. We need to be helping people do and not telling them what they cannot do. You see, God visits in the night, and he comes to set free and to empower us. God is a redeeming God. He's a God that liberates, a God that restores, and a God that sets free. And not only does he set us free from prison, not only does he break the chains of the captive, not only does he shatter the shackles of segregation, our God sets us free deep down in the depths of our spirits. Our God works in on our very hearts to set us free from everything that tends to entrap us. God works not only to set us free from poverty and prejudice, from prison and problems. God works to set us free from the most fundamental of all human issues. He's at work to set us free from sin. It's a wonderful phrase that we read in the text of this story about Peter. It says that when he had been set free from the jail cell, made his way back to town, then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has rescued me." Peter came to himself. He acknowledged the power of God in his life. You see, I know there are folks who think that salvation is just a matter of better education and clean clothing and training for a job. You see, I know that there are some folks who believe that everything is politics, and that if we could just move Congress in the right direction, if we could just get the president's attention, we could solve this thing. You see, I know that if you give the vote to a selfish person, he will vote only for his own self-interest.
That's right. That's right.
I know if you provide money to an evil person, he or she will throw it away or just evil pursuits. I know that right down in the depths of the human heart, that there's something else that must be dealt with, or all the education and all the training and all the mentoring, all the charity in the world will just be useless. And that something else is sin. See, our fundamental brokenness, our basic entanglement from God and from one another, our alienation from what God wants us to be, if we do not deal with sin in our own lives or in the lives of others, we will not have accomplished anything. No matter how touching and how beautiful it is to watch Peter coming to himself, becoming what God wanted him to be and acknowledging the place of God in his life, until that happens in our lives or anybody's life, not much else will happen.
Amen.
You see, because God deals with the heart. God frees us from every spot of sin and stain. Nothing is too deep for God to forgive. Nothing is too difficult for him to work out. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has rescued me." See, it was night, and it's still night for somebody here today. You see, the darkness of doubt and despair still has not been lifted from your life. It's still night for you. You see, it was night in the city when they came to the gates to celebrate Passover. It was night when Jesus and his disciples prepared an upper room for the festival. It was night when he took off his outer robe and picked up a towel to wash their feet. It was night when he sat at the table with them and dipped bread with one and who would betray him unto death. It was night when he stood before them and said, "This night will the Son of Man be given into sinful hands." It was night. It was night when they visited him in the garden with swords and staves. It was night when they arrested him. Night when they tried him, mocked him, and spat upon him. Night when they visited the high priest with an illegal hearing. Night when they hastened to convened the Sanhedrin. Night when they visited the colonial governor. It was night. Night visits on all these things that took place. And when they took him to Calvary's Hill and strung him up and lynched him for all the world to see, all nature turned into night on that awesome moment. It was night even at midday. Harry Belafonte sang the song, "Were you there when the sun refused to shine?" Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? For you see, it was night during the day. It was the night of our redemption. It was the night when our sin was being dealt with once and for all, when God, the very God, gave us his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Friday night came, Saturday night came, but hold on, Lucifer, things didn't change. For early that Sunday morning, my Jesus and your Jesus became that bright and morning star by getting up with all power in his hand and giving us a right to the tree of life once again. Although it went down in the night, it rose up again early in the morning, where you and I, through his resurrection, have a right once again to the tree of life. It was night, but I praise God, morning did come. Still is. And a greater light will shine when he comes back again for his church. One without spot, one without wrinkle. It was night. May God bless you. Thank you. May we stand, please. We take this opportunity once again to extend to all who are within the sound of my voice an invitation to Christian discipleship. We do understand that being saved does not mean that once you come out into an aisle, that salvation will come when you get out there. Salvation that God promised us, that if thou would just confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That takes place right where you receive that, right where you believe it, right where you receive God's Son in your heart. And once you receive him, it could have been last week, last month, could have been this morning, could be just now. What we're asking you to do is to come and let others know of your commitment to Jesus Christ by stepping out in the aisle and coming forward to the officers who stand here before you. Salvation is the ultimate goal of all who has breath. For the Bible tells us this Jesus who lived, who died, who rose again and ascended up into heaven is coming back again for his church. Not this building, but the church within us. He's coming back for us. And when he comes, he expects you to be ready. Not get ready, but to be ready, to be saved. And that does not tell us that you have to do anything other than to receive him. You may have some baggage. You may have some things that you're not pleased or proud of. However you are, he accepts you where you're at. And he is the one that will make changes in your life. So if you're here, if you received him as Savior, if you called upon the name of the Lord, now is your time to come forward. Step out in the aisle. Give your hand to the officers who stand here before you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. This is also the opportunity for those who know Jesus Christ. You've been praying and you've asked the Lord to guide you to a place where he would have you to worship. He has guided you here to Shiloh. We'd love to have you to come, and be a part of this Christian family. Come and unite with us either on your Christian experience or by letter. We'd love to have you also. This is your opportunity to come too. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? We bless God. We bless God. Amen. Is there another? Is there another? Will you come? Will you come? Is there another? Amen. It's prayer time at Shiloh. Those of you who know the work and the worth of prayer, we ask that you will come to the altar at this time for our prayer.
Thank Pastor for this message today. It was night. And we heard him say that Herod had killed James. And when he saw that it pleased people, he proceeded to go after Peter. But the angel of the Lord came to Peter while he was in prison, and the end of the story is that he said, "Now I know surely that the Lord have sent an angel and have delivered me." How many of you today have had an experience when you know in your heart You know that you know, and nobody can't change your mind because you know that the Lord had delivered you. That is why we come to the altar today, because we know what God has done. And we're coming to this altar to lay our petitions here. And we know whatever burdens that we bring to this altar, that we can walk away unburdened because we've left them here. Let us pray. All wise and eternal Heavenly Father, we come now in the precious name of Jesus. We come, dear Lord, because we adore you. We adore you, Lord God, because of what you've done and what you are doing in our lives. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. There is none like you. And Lord, we just want to thank you. Lord God, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have made and for allowing us to be a part of it. You woke us up this morning and we were clothed in our right mind and we had a reasonable portion of health and strength. You delivered us safely to this house of prayer, and your Holy Spirit has reigned throughout this sanctuary. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord God, we know that there are things that we have done that we ought not to have done. And we come to this altar to ask your forgiveness for those things, dear Lord. We repent of our sins and we ask your forgiveness. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you are a long-suffering God, that you are a God full of grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us and keeping us. And Lord God, we come because we all each have a testimony that we are going to give about your goodness and your grace and how you delivered us the way you did Peter. Lord God, we love you and we just thank you for all that you do. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would go and visit the sick and shut in, wherever they may be. Touch them with your finger of love and let them know that you are near. Heal them, dear Lord, and send them back to us with a powerful testimony to your goodness and your grace. And Lord God, we also ask your blessing upon this country, in particular the leader of this country. Lord God, we know that we are to be about helping people. And we know that you can touch the leader of this country. There is nothing impossible for you. So we're asking right now in the name of Jesus that you touch the leader of this country. And Lord, give him a Damascus Road experience like Paul, so that he will know you in the pardoning of his sins. Lord God, Jesus said that greater things than he did that we should do. Give us, dear Lord, the courage and the strength to do what thus saith the Lord. Lord God, help us to wean ourselves from milk and start eating the meat of your word, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will just keep your guardian angels camped out around about us and keep us safe as we go to and fro. And Lord, help us to think of others and helping others and not just ourselves. Lord God, we love you and we magnify your name. We rejoice in you and all that you have done. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen.